Well, we're in the series, Dig Your Own Ditches. And it comes out of 2 Kings there where the armies of Israel, the Moabites had come against King Jehoshaphat of Judah, King Jehoram of Israel, and a Moabite, an Edom, king from Edom. And they had made a truce and said, we need to fight the Moabites because together we can do more than we can do separate individually. And they made a decision to track Moab from the south, but they had to go through the desert to get there. And after 7 days of marching in the desert, they ended up in a wilderness in a dry place. And I don't know if you've ever been in a dry place in life, but you live long enough, you might at some time or other end up in a dry place. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many ever been in a dry place? I didn't even ask for a show of hands, but so I bet you some of you have. And so they go to the prophet, and Jehoshaphat says, well, actually it was Jehoram that said, you know, don't you have a prophet down here? And so they go to the prophet, and he says, I'll tell you what. He said, I need you to bring the minstrel. I need some praise and worship. I need to bring the presence of God. You come down here, just demand the word of God. He said, let me worship the Lord. Let me get in the presence of God. And so he worships the Lord. The minstrel comes and he praises and worships. And here's the word of the Lord. Dig ditches in your own valley. Lord, we're thirsty. We're tired. Lord, we are thirsty and tired. How many know digging a ditch in when you're thirsty and tired is just more work? And the reality is they're in a valley. And God said, dig a valley in a valley. Dig a hole in a valley. And so last Sunday we had some fun with the shovel and we found out that this shovel fits everybody's hands. Everybody in this room that tried this shovel on, this, your hands fit this shovel. And God said, dig ditches. And what's amazing is the man of God said, I want you to dig a ditch, but he said, I won't dig it for you. He said, you have to dig your own ditch. And the reality is there are many times that we want God to come and do everything for us, but I told you last Sunday, there was a point you told your children, I'm not making your bed anymore. I'm not wiping your nose anymore. You're going to learn how to do this. And there's a point we grow up in God and we mature in God and we mature in Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become mature Christians. And God expects this of us just as we expected this of our children. And God said, there are some things that you need to do. And so today I'm going to get a little bit deeper into that. And I'm going to talk about the hardest ditch you will ever dig. But God demands you dig it. God died so that you could dig it. Because how many know that Jesus said this several times in the Scriptures? He said, offenses will come. How many have lived long enough to understand that offenses will come? Yes. Three of you don't know that yet, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you live long enough, offenses, somebody will come across your path that will offend you, hurt you, talk bad about you, say something about you, offend you in one way or the other. And Jesus, I praise God, He doesn't even mince words about it. He doesn't say they might come, they can come. He says they will come. So just by a show of hands, anybody in this room ever been offended? Okay. Anybody in this room ever been offended by a believer? Wow. Anybody in this room ever been offended by somebody you live with? Look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. Don't look anywhere else. Look straight ahead when you do that. Don't be looking. I'm here to tell you offenses will come, and Jesus said they will. And what happens is, Jesus said, those whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So you can be free, but my question today is, are you free indeed? Because what Satan wants to do is, after you have become born again, and just like God when He took the children of Israel out of Egypt, the plan was to take them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. Once you are born again, the enemy wants to make sure you never get to the promised land God has for you. He wants to keep you in the wilderness going around and around and around and around the mountain. Because if you go round and round and round the mountain, you never accomplish the plans that God has for you, the desires and the thoughts and desires He has for you. Everybody in this room needs to understand God has a plan, a thought, and a desire for your life. That is specific and tailored to you and you alone. And the enemy wants to interrupt that plan and get you on the merry-go-round of going round and around and around and around. And God says, if you'll dig this ditch, if you'll dig this ditch that Pastor Steve's going to talk, and this sermon today is, this is not milk, it's not pablum, this is T-bone steak.
Amen. Amen.
This is T-bone steak. And I'm serious, because many times we as believers, we get into a place of understanding God is good and He wants His blessings in our life. But the one thing Satan wants to make sure is you don't get and receive the blessings God has for you. God has blessings for you, and yes, He loves you, and God is good all the time. But the reality is, I tell people, sometimes you've got to understand, if the devil's against you and you're against you, that's two out of three. You've got to understand, there's something you've got to do. You've got to team up with God and get on His side in relation to what He says to do. And this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Tell Israel, they're in a valley, it's hot and it's dry, and the word of God is, dig your own ditches. And Elijah says, I'm going to tell you what to do, but I'm not going to help you do it. But then God said this. He said, I'll tell you what, if you'll dig your own ditches, I will fill not only the ditches you're in, but the valley you're in. And God said, I will send an overflowing blessing of water and abundance and bless you in that situation where you have applied with your hands. You know that God blesses and the work of our hands and what we put our hand to. And so today, this is a hard one. But this is digging ditches. This is not 101, 202, 303, 404. This is 10010. This is the hard one. How many understand offense will come?
Yes.
Most people who are saved do not understand that Satan has a bait, and it's a snare. And it is the bait of offense. And you will a counter offense, I promise you, it is promised in the Word of God. And it is up to you how you will, it will affect your relationship with God. It will affect your relationship with your spouse, with your children. It will affect your relationship with everything you've accomplished and done. And your response will determine your future. I'm going to show you from Scripture what most pastors don't talk about. But I'm going to talk about, if you come here, I'll talk about all that's written in the red, okay? I don't pick and choose the red. I read the red. I got news for you. If you're going to serve God, you need to read the red. Say with me, we read the red here. So I want to just go to a couple scriptures. Turn with me to Psalm 133. Starting with verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it is like the precious ointment from the head that was passed down on the beard, even on Aaron's beard, that went down his skirts to his garments. And it's like the dew, he uses a second analogy, the dew of Hermon. As the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord, and that's what I'm looking for. And there the Lord commanded the blessing. Say with me, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Let's see, what brings the blessing? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands the blessing. That is why it's so wonderful when you can dwell in unity in your household with your wife. For there the Lord commands the blessing. And your marriage can literally be heaven on earth. For there the Lord commands the blessing. Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to read the red that is a little tough to read. How many know that if you go to church and you never get Matthew chapter 18? I'm going to start in verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two or of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Amen.
So Jesus is beginning to deal with Peter and Peter's issues. And Peter thinks he has kind of arrived at a place spiritually, that he's a little bit more grown up in the Lord than the other disciples. And he understands what Jesus is talking about, is unity here, the power of unified prayer. And how many know Peter has issues with people? How many understand Peter has issues with people? I'll tell you, Peter is the apostle in the Bible that gives me the grace to know God is not through with me. You need to understand, you study Peter, you'll find out. Thank God Peter's there, for it will give you grace to understand God's still working on you. So Peter, here's this: what God is beginning to do and Christ is beginning to say, the power of agreement and unity. And so here's now Peter, he gets in the flesh. Real easy to do. I know none of you have any problem getting in the flesh. So then came Peter unto him, and he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? And he doesn't let Jesus answer. He gives Jesus his answer. He gives Jesus his spiritual answer. He gives Jesus his anointed answer. He gives Jesus Peter's version of forgiveness. And Peter, being magnanimous, he said, Lord Jesus, how oft shall I forgive my brother? I could just see Peter strutting around like that. I got news for you. Peter ain't at the pearly gates. He's too obnoxious to be there. I guarantee you it ain't Peter. And he says, seven times, Lord? How magnanimous. My goodness, he's got Jesus trapped. He's now teaching Jesus Christ the Master. And Jesus looks at him and says, I hate to burst your bubble. But what's he say? 7 times 70. Now, I know believers that have counted that up, and at the end of that, they know, now I can let them have it. Maybe you don't. I've been in the church all my life. I've seen all kind of church crazy. 7 times 70, and he kind of blows Peter's theology out of the water. And then Jesus says, okay, you guys have totally missed this teaching of mercy and forgiveness. He said, you don't get it. He said, okay, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, everybody say reckon. How many know that each and every one of us have a day of reckoning? Okay, you heard it here. That we have a day of reckoning with God. And was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Everybody say 10,000 talents. That is a lot of debt. If the talents were gold, it would be $290 million. If the talents were silver, it would be $19 million if it was silver. It's just a lot of money. He had a lot of debt that he owed. And he owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment had to be made. But the servant fell down and worshipped the Lord, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. Everybody say compassion. You and I need to thank God that he is moved with compassion. For the mercies of God, they fail not. And he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Woo! I owe $290 million. And he forgave the debt. I only owe $19 million and he forgave the debt. So I love scriptures that tell me that God wants to bless me. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. I like that. That's good. You know, I'm smart enough to know that when God told Abraham that, I'll bless those that bless you, that's my kind of scripture. But these scriptures that say that, you know what, my blessing might be predicated upon how I treat other people and handle other people, especially believers in the house of God. Woo! I like that. I'll bless those that bless you, Stephen. Yeah, amen. You owe me $19 million. But in spite of my propensities and proclivities, God has ignored my desire and said, there are some people you're going to have to forgive, Pastor Steve. That my ability to bless you is going to be predicated on your ability to interact with other people. How many know that interaction with other people in the church and where there is unity, the power of God will fall? How many understand that? Where there's interaction and unity, the power of God will fall. So Psalm 133 says, like oil on the head of Aaron, and it ran down the skirts from his beard to his garments. What it's talking about, the oil was continuous, and it's important that we understand that the oil flowed based on connectivity. When David uses the second allegory of the mountain, the dew that comes from Mount Hermon, Mount Hermon is one of the highest places in Israel. And he said, every morning the dew, every morning, everybody say every morning. Every morning the mercies of God, they are new every morning. The dew would come down Mount Hermon and go all the way to the mountains above Israel. And it didn't matter what season it was, what time of year it was, because they were on the Mediterranean there. The dew would come on the mountains every day. And David said, it's an amazing thing to see the mercy of God be poured out in our lives every day. In Lamentations 3:22, the prophet, he lamenting about the sins of Israel, but in the middle of his lament, he said this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the reason that God grants mercy every morning, and it's new every morning, because I used all my mercy up last night on that one dude. And I'm fresh out today, Lord. And God said, I got more mercy for you today. I got new mercy for you today. So you can be merciful today, Stephen, because I'm giving you new mercy today. You can be merciful today because I got new mercy for you. I know that joker took all your mercy last night, but I got new mercy for you today. I promise you, if offense will come, brothers and sisters, it will come. And God said, I know that, so I'm going to give you new mercies every day so that you can pour out new mercies every day. The problem is, if you break the connectivity, you stop the flow. If you stop the flow, you lose the blessing. Where is the blessing commanded? Where brethren dwell in unity. Where brethren dwell in unity. That's where the blessing is commanded. How many understand that God commands the blessing there? He commands the blessing there. Whew, God can speak a blessing. He can speak it here. Go there. He can speak a blessing to you. He can speak the blessing to you. Are you in a position for God to speak the blessing in your life? You and I can't command a blessing. We can ask for a blessing. But God can command the blessing. So Jesus said, this is how the kingdom operates. Peter was magnanimous. 7 times, Lord. And Jesus is like, oh, you buffoon. You don't even understand what I'm teaching you. 7 times 7. Everybody say 7 times 70.
7 times 70.
What is that, 490? So 491, you can let them have it. Bless God, that's of course. There are people operating in Bible on that right now. So Jesus, he says, this is how the kingdom operates. And this is the job of the church, and this is the job of a pastor. So if you just want to operate in the world, you already know how to operate in the world. But if you want to find out how the kingdom of God operates, it's my job to tell you. And I'm here to tell you, this is how the kingdom of God operates. If you want the blessing of God in your life, this is a law that is predicated upon the very word of God I'm going to talk to you about. And it's meat, and it's strong meat, and you have to dig this ditch. For if you do not dig this ditch, the blessing that God has put on your life, you can lose it. Now, one amen there. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling the blessing and goodness of God that's on your life. I'm going to get to Scripture. Everybody say Scripture. We read the Bible here.
Amen.
I read the whole thing. I'm going to get to it. So Jesus tells Peter and his disciples, this is how the kingdom of God operates. So go with me now. This is how the kingdom, say it, of God operates. Let me see if I can prove it. Therefore, verse 23, Matthew 18:23, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Therefore, Jesus is saying, boys, I'm about to teach you a lesson in how the kingdom of God operates. Boys, you need to listen to this one. Boys, you need to listen to this one. So he said, I'm going to teach you this lesson. What happens is the Lord says in this particular situation, this servant has come. How many reconcile your bank statements at least once a year? How about monthly? You balance your checkbook, right? You reconcile your checkbook. You should. And here, after the master has looked and seen that the account is out of balance, he said, I've got to do something to fix this relationship. And here's what the Lord is saying. He said, I cannot continue to be in a relationship with you that functions at a deficit. That's what the Lord told the servant. I cannot continue to be in a relationship with you that functions on a deficit. Now, I'm not going to preach on that. I could. I have a sermon that what happens when reciprocity runs out, but I'm not going to preach that today. But he asks, the Lord asks, can he pay? And he says, no. And here's the word of the king. Sell him and his wife and his children and his belongings because he cannot pay. We sing a song. I owed a debt. I could not pay. He paid a debt. He did not owe. Anybody know that song? The three of us went to church 25 years ago. The reality is, you had a debt you couldn't pay. I had a debt I could not pay. And we go before the king and we ask for mercy. And that when we come to Jesus Christ through the blood and through what he did in the magnanimous work at the cross, you have a debt and I have a debt that is absolutely unfathomable before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the reality is, dude, you owe more than you're worth. To sell your wife and your kids to straighten this mess out, you're in over your head. You know, selling me is one thing. That's horrible. But you're going to sell my wife too? And my kids too? That means her association with me has brought her into debt. Whew, quiet as a church mouse in here today. That means your relationship with me has brought you into debt. I've got good news. Just hang on. Everybody hang on. Everybody hang on. Can you imagine that conversation, honey? I've got us in trouble. We're going to have to, he's going to sell me and he's going to sell you. I'm going to sell the kids and everything we worked for. And so the wife represents the present. Selling your kids represents your future. And I believe in 2020 we are really on the verge of God working in mighty and powerful ways and on the verge of breakthrough and incredible things that we've been praying for, standing for, believing for. And I believe that the enemy wants to come in and steal what God has promised us and planned for us. And he does it this way. This guy was a servant. You cannot allow what the enemy would plan against you or the things around you to stop the blessing of God in your life, the favor of God in your life, for you and your wife and your marriage and your children and your grandchildren and all your belongings and your dog and your cats and your cattle and whatever you got. God said, I want to bless it. My goodness. Sell me, that's one thing, but kicker, my wife and my kids? Selling my future. My kids are my destiny. So when you sell my children, you're selling my future. My children are the evidence I was here. My children are the evidence I was here on this earth, lived on this earth, for good or bad. My children are the evidence that I was here. Not the buildings, not anything I've done. My children are the evidence. That's my future. And he says, I also want to sell everything that you have and take all that. And the king said, payment has to be made. Justice has to be served. Now the Bible says that this, the servant collapsed on the floor and he began to worship the Lord and he cried out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have patience with me, give me time, I'll pay it all back. I will pay you back, Lord, just give me time, give me mercy. Oh King, have mercy on me. Can you imagine that cry of understanding? My repentance could change my destiny. My repentance could change her destiny. My repentance could change my children's destiny. My repentance could change the destiny of everything I own. Ooh, how many understand what I'm telling you? My goodness. And he worshiped him. Give me time and Lord, I'll repay you. And instead of the king giving him time and patience, he does something amazing. He forgives him the whole debt. He forgives him the 290 million. He forgives him the 190 million. He forgives him the whole debt. How many know that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven the whole debt? Now, that is a slap in the face to Satan. That God has forgiven you of sin and that debt because the wages of sin are death.
Yes, they are.
Oh, and God said, I'm going to forgive you the whole debt. I'm going to forgive you the whole debt. I'm going to forgive you the whole debt. My goodness. That is amazing grace. My goodness. 290 million in gold, 19 million in silver. And he gives him mercy. Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
Anytime the king's angry enough to sell you, your wife, your children, everything you want, you got to understand you are in trouble. And this shows you how powerful and strong repentance is when you repent before a holy God and you mean it. And the Lord saw repentance as being more valuable than the slavery and the servitude. God saw the repentance as being more valuable than the debt you owed Him. Repentance will reconcile you to a holy God. Wow. 290 million. And rather give Him time, He just says, that's all right, we're even, Stephen, you're good to go. Everybody say, I'm good to go.
Good to go.
You are free to go. You are free indeed now. Do you know that God would rather have relationship with you than retribution on you? I'd write that down. Don't you know God would rather have relationship with you than retribution on you? Okay, I'm here to tell you God is good. I'm here to tell you God is good. And He is for you. He's not against you. And God has thoughts and plans for you that are good and for graciousness and for holiness and for His plans and thoughts and for there to be an outcome in your life that is good and wonderful in Him. I got news for you. God is good for you all the time.
Amen.
We are the ones that open up the door. So Satan says, man, you've been forgiven of all that debt, Stephen. I've lost all that stuff you did. Now there's some of you in this room that you have some stuff. But God said, I've forgiven you for all that. Then the devil says, you've been forgiven all that? That is salvation. That's restoration. That's flamboyant grace. That's amazing grace. That's scandalous grace. That's ridiculous grace. That's all. And Satan never understood grace because he's never received it. And maybe there's somebody in this room that could have been sold into slavery, should have been sold into slavery, but you had a merciful God. And when your sin and your corruption came in to destroy you, grace stepped in and saved you. Mercy stepped in and saved you. And saved you alive unto God. So when justice got ready to take you out, mercy stepped in and saved you. You are here by the amazing grace of the Master. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. I know you're looking room everybody else, but he's talking about you. So the mercies of God, they are new every morning. Mercy, mercy, mercy. When God gets up, the Bible says that the mercies of God are new every morning. You know what God's thinking in the morning? Mercy, mercy, mercy. Say it with me, mercy, 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 mercy. The Lord, mercies of God, they are new every morning. So it must be the first thing He's thinking about in the morning. Mercy to you, mercy to you, mercy to you. My God, do you know God has mercy for you?
Amen.
Hmm. Have you ever had somebody say something about you that wasn't true? Been falsely accused? Anybody in this room, that ever happened? Been falsely accused? When you're falsely accused, you want justice. And justice is the friend of the innocent. That's true. But how many know if somebody's talking about you and you're angry about it and you're frustrated about it because it is true, when they're talking about you, do you want justice or mercy when it's true?
Mercy.
Mercy. Mercy. Everybody say mercy. There ain't never ain't no guy got a phone call and his girlfriend say, hey honey, I'm pregnant, guess what? And he got on his oar and said, oh Lord, bring justice. No, he cried out for mercy. Now you understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not, mercy brought you out of that relationship. It brought you out of drug addiction, chaos, and dysfunction.
Amen.
Mercy has kept you from losing your mind, your wife, your job, your kid, your house. Mercy has kept you from losing. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Thank God for the mercy He's given. And maybe you can't get excited about praising and worshiping God. But when you owe 290 million and God said, I'm going to wipe the slate clean, you might get down on your knees and start worshiping Him. This joker got down on his knees and started worshiping and pleading with him. And I praise God, he has a heart of compassion. He has a heart of compassion. I didn't have an alibi, I didn't have any, I can't prove I didn't do it, but justice is what I want. But when I'm guilty, I want mercy. So there's no freedom like undeserved freedom. There is no freedom like undeserved. When innocent people are exonerated, they're happy, but what do they say? I've got justice. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But when guilty people get exonerated, they shout, I got mercy. And those are the people you see in church jumping up and down and praising God and clapping their hands, and you wonder, what's wrong with them crazy people? They got mercy when they deserve justice. They got mercy. Say, they got mercy. Now, some of you, I realize you didn't need justice, but there's some of us in here that need God's mercy. So that is interesting. That is interesting. But the Bible says that same man, I ain't through reading yet, but your Bible says and my Bible says, but that same man. Verse 28, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Everybody say 100 pence. I like that. But that same man. He goes out and he finds a man or his fellow servant. Everybody say fellow servant. Who owed him 100 pence. And he, when he laid hands on him, he took him by the throat, choking him, saying, pay me what you owe me. You owe me $17. You owe me $17. I've been forgiven a bunch, but you owe me $17. And the Bible says he went and he took him by the throat. He went and he took him by the throat. He went and took him by the throat. I got news for you. If you're trying to find something wrong with somebody, you'll find something wrong with everybody, anybody, all the time. If you look under every leaf and every bush, you'll eventually find something wrong with somebody that you can go take him by the throat. And he goes and he takes him by the throat and he chokes him and he says this. Pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he said, great, I'll do that. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and they told the Lord all that was done. And then after this, the Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou deridest me or begged me, pleaded with me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? Now let me tell you something. I preach many times that you need to forgive people. And you can say, well, Pastor Steve, is this another one of those sermons where you need to forgive people? Yeah, it is. But now I'm going to tell you why you have to forgive them. And if you don't, there is a problem. There's a problem. Because you have been released by Christ. You have been set free of all that you owed heaven. You have been set free from all that you owed sin. And God has set you free, and you now are free indeed, and God has poured grace and mercy into your life, and God said, I expect you now to give that.
That's right. Amen.
God says, I expect you now to give what I have given you.
Yeah.
I expect you to give what I have given you. No, God says, I demand it. He said, the reason the mercies are new every morning is so that you can have new mercy every morning. So God says, you've come out of that. It's been forgiven. I've forgiven you. You're good. You're good to go. You're operating in the blessing of God, the goodness of God. And now I'm choking somebody. Yep. Give me that $17. All the while not realizing that while you're choking him, Jim, come up and start choking me. No. No. When you're choking him, you're choking out the blessing God has put on your life. You remember where God has commanded a blessing? When brothers dwell together in unity, that is where God commands the blessing. So my $290 million debt, God has set me free. Your $17 debt, Stephen, dig that ditch. If you will dig this ditch of forgiveness, God will fill it with mercy. But you have to do it. You can affect your blessing. You can affect your marriage. You can affect your children. You can affect your grandchildren. You can affect your great-grandchildren. You can affect your finances. Everything in life. God said, I've set you free for you to go start choking somebody else. God said, I can't bless the work of your hands because you got it around somebody's neck.
Yeah.
God said, I'll bless the work of your hands.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
God said, I'll bless the work of your hands, but not when you're choking somebody with them. So my question today is, are you choking anybody? Because if you're wondering, Lord, I came into Christ, I got forgiven, and I got some forgiven of some shady stuff, but Lord, and the blessing of God is in my life, but Lord, it's been tough. Who are you choking today? And are you choking? And this is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And last week, I guarantee you, I checked everybody in this room. This shovel fits everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, this shovel will fit your hands. One of the things I can leave on a job site is a shovel. Nobody will steal a shovel. But I promise you it fills your hands. It fits your hands perfectly. And he snatches him and he chokes him over $17. Not knowing that what he did to that brother who owed him is what he's doing to the blessing the Master has put upon him. Woo! Not knowing that when I'm choking him, I'm choking off the very blessing God has put on my life. When I'm choking you, I'm choking my own blessing. When I'm choking you, I'm choking my wife. When I'm choking you, I'm choking my kids. When I'm choking you, I'm choking my job. When I'm choking you, I'm choking my finances. When you're choking somebody else, you're choking off the blessing of God in your life. Why is it that animals always go for the throat? You look at the carnivorous world, the first thing they do is go for the throat. You owe me $17. He was choking his own blessing. For the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but I never want to run out of God's mercy in my life. And the fastest way for me to run out of mercy is be choking somebody else and not allowing them to have mercy that God has given me. That's the fastest way you can get in trouble and the fastest way you'll lose the mercy of God. I got news for you. Maybe you've never reached a point you need the mercy of God. There'll be a day in your life you might need the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive and obtain mercy. God says, as long as I see you giving mercy, I'll give you mercy. But when you start to choke off mercy from other people, God said, you're choking yourself. Everybody take your hands right here. And I want you to choke as hard as you can. No takers? Oh, come on! Come on, get there and choke as hard as you can. What if you choke yourself as hard as you choked other people? That's what he did. He took him by the throat, the Bible says. Then his Lord, after this had happened, called him. He said, you wicked servant. He said, I forgave you all that debt because you begged, you cried, you worshipped me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion? This is the hardest thing you'll ever do, is give compassion to people that God has given to you. Because it is against your flesh, it is against your nature, it is against your natural design, but this is how the kingdom of heaven operates. You have got to forgive people and let it go. You have got to forgive people and let it go. You have got to forgive people and let it go. Because who you're choking yourself. Let me read the end of this. Can I just read the end of this? The Lord was wroth and he delivered him to the tormentor. Ooh! Till he should pay all that was due unto him. Well, I wish this verse wasn't there. But it's there in red. I don't know. I'm going to check and see if it's in your Bible. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Whew. Pastor, I wish you wouldn't have read that one. I was good till you read that one. I'm thinking about letting go of that grip on that joker, but now you're scared the living you know what out of me. The Bible says you've got to let go. Scripture says you've got to let go. Everybody do this. Take a big deep breath. Now take another one. Now take another one. It's like this. I need this. But to get the next breath, I got to let go of this one. To get what's next, I got to let go of what's last. I can't get it. I got to let go. I got to let go. My granddaughter, she comes up and I gave her this little princess outfit, and she gets on her thing, and this song comes on, and she twirls around, and she sings, "Let it go, let it go, let it go." I don't know what the song is, but it's "Let it go." And here I'm here to tell you, let it go, let it go, let it go. Yeah. Breathe in the goodness of God that comes every day. Take in what's good. That's bad, let it go. If you need another breath, you got to let go of the old one. You have to let go of the poison. If you don't let it go of that poison, it will kill you.
Yes.
What's the saying? Unforgiveness is like taking poison hoping that it kills you. It's the stupidest thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing you can do, unforgiveness. Thinking, I'm going to get him. I'm going to not forgive him. I'm choking myself. And God said, I want to bring a blessing in your life in 2020. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. You're going to see God in 2020 like you haven't seen. Why do I believe that? Because we've been praying, 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 we've been praying. We've been praying on Wednesday night, we've been praying Tuesday morning. We've been praying, we've been praying, we've been praying. And I know God is a prayer hearing and answering God. His Word says so. And so we're praying for you and your marriage and your kids and your dogs and your camels and whatever you got, we're praying for it. Because we believe that God wants to bless it. I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Just to mess you up and make you mad. No, that's not how it reads. Say, I know God has thoughts and plans for me. And I got news for you. The devil cannot come in and steal them. But you can give him an inroad by choking somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, it's the bait of Satan. Offense.
Yes, it is.
I promise you. Satan says, they got off the drugs, they got off the booze, they got off the sex, they got off the rock and roll, they got off every hellish thing in the earth. How can I get with them? I'm going to make somebody come in, and I'm going to have somebody mess their head up. Next thing you know, your neighbor's on your yard, and his dog's going to the bathroom on your yard every morning. And he don't clean it up. And I have a shovel for that. And I throw that back on his yard. The only way you can get the future breath is exhale the old breath. You got to let go of the breath you don't need to get the new breath you do need. Let it go. Your life depends on it. Your blessing depends on it. Your miracle. This is where the blessing of the Lord is commanded. Ooh, I like that. Not thought about, not hoped. It is commanded right there where we get together. And when I look at you, I see the Christ in you that's working in you, that's delivering you, that's bringing you into the fullness of who God has called you to be and who God has called you to be and who God has called you to be. I'm not looking for problems because I got news for you. I have enough problems taking care of my crazy life, much less worried about your crazy life. Because I got news for you. If I looked underneath every bush here, I'd find something crazy in your life. Well, I don't believe it. I talk to your kids, so I know. Are you choking somebody today? Your life depends on it. Your future depends on it. Satan says, I'll tell you what. The blessing of God is on their life. I can't touch all their past. It's gone. It's washed in the blood. So I'll get new charges against them. I'm going to get some new charges against them. I'm going to send somebody to offend you. I'm going to send somebody that owes you something. And they can't pay you. Satan says, man, I'm going to get those people that are free indeed back in bondage. Don't tell me you cannot affect the blessing of the Lord. Satan is going to try everything he can do to throw this at you. Make somebody mess with your head. I have seen church splits over the color of what curtains were going to be in the church. I've seen it. Y'all talk like you were there. I don't remember you there, but y'all talk like you were there. Life will hand you stuff every day. Take what you can get that is good from God. Exhale and get rid of everything that is from the enemy and from the world. Don't let the enemy or anybody hurt you so bad that you choke yourself. Because that is Satan's aim. If I can get Stephen to choke Mark, he don't even know he's choking himself. He's choking out the blessing of God. I just read you what happened to this joker. Just scary. It's scary. Are you choking the mercies of God out of your own life? If God's mercies are new and fresh every morning, God said, I've refreshed you too. And the mercy, that last straw last night, God said, I'm going to replenish and replenish you with new mercy today. I got new mercies every day, God says. He doesn't say I have new justice every day. He says I have new mercies every day. God knows you need mercy every day. And God knows you need to give mercy every day. So God said, I got mercy for you. I got heaps of it. I got helping of it. I got a truckload of it. I got an 18-wheeler of mercy. God said, the mercy I've given you, pour it out on other people.
Right. Amen.
Get yourself and your kids and your dogs and your marriage and everybody else out of hock. Oh, hallelujah. Today, God wants to set you free. See, I've always told you, you need to forgive. Today, I'm telling you why. Because it's the bait of Satan, the area of offense. They got off drugs, they can't mess them there. They got off porn, they can't get them there. They got out of this, they're not doing this. They're going to church, they're praying. I'll get somebody to mess with their head. I just can't stand that attitude he has. How can I trip them up? How can I take the blessing of God that's been commanded in their lives? You receive that today? Now see, there were some people I thought I had. Lord, I'm so good. I sucked my gut in. Lord, I'm so... Look at what I've done. Look how magnanimous I am. Then one thing happened. One thing! And it was like, Lord, give me about a month. Been about a month. How you doing? I'm good. How's he doing? Oh, he's the devil himself. Yeah, I need to talk about that. Nobody's immune to this. Nobody's immune to this. You're not immune to it. I promise you, you're not immune to it. Well, you're a pastor. The enemy's going to do it. No, nobody's immune to this. That is born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's immune to it. And so, the Lord convicted me. And I found out I was kind of like Peter. I gave him 491.90 times, Lord. I'm at 491. It's time to rock and roll here. The Lord said, son. So you know what the Lord had me do? He had me serve him cake. He had me serve him cake. And he tricked me and I didn't even know I was doing it. And it really ticked me off. Because the Lord said, I'm about to do something in 2020 in your life. And I'm not going to let the devil mess up what God's doing in your life and in this church and in the families in the church. God said, I'm going to stop it. Amen. Serve them cake. Serve them cake. Serve them cake. You know, after that was over, his wife came up and gave me a big old hug. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay. And God said, you know what a little bit of compassion does? You know, a little bit of compassion takes the enemy and just whips him. It just whips him. How many want to whip the devil today? So as we get ready to take communion today, I don't know, maybe you don't, maybe you've dug your ditch and you've forgiven everybody and you're good. Praise God. God bless you. Come and anoint me and oil, pour oil all over me from my head down to my beard, down to my toes. As soon as, I've learned one thing, as soon as I get over one person, some other joker shows up. Lord. Lord. Jesus said, I promise you this will happen. I'm not going to lie to you about it. And there's serious consequences to this. But you can stop it today. You can stop it today. You can stop it today. You can stop it today.
Amen.
All the mess and all the muck and all the mire and all of the confusion the enemy's bringing, you can stop it today. I ain't going to choke him no more, Lord. Because I'm choking myself. Now you know why you have to forgive. I'm not just telling you to forgive. I'm telling you there are consequences to not forgiving. And they're tough. And that is the sad thing. It becomes generational. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name as we get ready to take communion today. I don't know if this message is for anybody but me. If I'm the only one, Lord, I'll preach to myself. But God, I understand what you're about to do in 2020 is so big and so wonderful and so marvelous and so powerful. You're saying, deal with this. Don't choke out what I'm about to deliver. Don't choke out what I'm about to bring. Don't choke out the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, and my restoration in your life, in the people's lives in Living Faith Church, in this church. God said, don't choke it out. Breathe a sigh of relief today. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you that today. Everybody breathe a sigh of relief. There they go. There they go. See ya. Now I can get that next breath of God. That next vision of God. That next word of God. That next plan of God. That next miracle. It's now my right. Because I've been forgiven. I've been washed. The debt I owed has been paid. God said, you're right back in perfect relationship. How many know you're one prayer away from perfect relationship with Jesus Christ? I praise God for His grace. I praise God for His mercy. I praise Jesus for that blood. Oh, I praise Jesus for that blood. I praise Jesus for that blood. Today as we go into communion, say, Pastor, I this is a tough one. Well, but God will make a way. God will make a way for you to forgive them. God will make it where it's even gracious. God will make it powerful and real. God said, you take that step. You take those hands off. Watch what I do. Serve them cake. Serve them cake. I'll give you the kingdom. Serve them cake. I'll give you the kingdom. So Father, today we just pray according to your word. Jesus, the word of God says that when they were in that upper room that he prayed and blessed the sacrament. And this is literally what Jesus prayed. Blessed art thou, O God, creator of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and has given us the bread of heaven, Christ himself. The Bible says that he blessed the cup. Blessed art thou, O God, creator of the universe, who hath brought forth the blessing of the fruit of the vine. And hath connected us to the vine, Jesus Christ, so that we will bear much fruit. That was Jesus' prayer at the Last Supper. But it's his prayer today, that we would bear much fruit. How many want to bear much fruit? You got to get your hands off somebody else's neck. Because you're really just choking yourself. So as we go in this today, we're just going to worship the Lord a minute. This is not my table, this is the Lord's table. We take communion here. Everything that God has is free and available. It's up to you. Jesus said, this is my table. The Lord has set a banqueting table. He set the table, not me. This is his table. When you're ready to take communion, you can come up here. We're going to be in worship. You can spend time here. If you have somebody locked by the neck and you need a key to open that up, I got some keys over here for you. him go today. Let it go. Let it go. I don't know the rest of it, but that's all I know. Let it go. She knows. I'm serious. I want everything God has for you in 2020. I want everything that God has for me and her. I want everything God has for our children. For my grandchildren. I want everything that God has for my grandchildren that are not even born yet. Abraham wanted it so bad that the Bible says he paid tithes to Melchizedek. And four generations later, the Bible says that Levi paid tithes while he was in the loins of Abraham. Do you not know what you're doing today echoes in eternity? What you do today, it echoes in eternity. Let them go! Let them go. There's better use for your hands than this. I promise you. Maybe a little more of that. Spend time today with the Lord. There's somebody you got to let go. If you're good, just come up here, take your juice, take your cracker. God bless you. But if you need to let somebody go, you're choking somebody. Let them go today.